Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is episode number 9, and this week we have a special podcast. We have 3 guests because we're rolling into finale time, so we have lots to discuss. All right, you guys, intros.
Hello, I'm Brian from Los Angeles.
Hi, I'm Keith from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, it's Peter from Los Angeles.
All right, and let's start off with the news. And this week in the news, I just found out that Justified was renewed for season 2 already. They're not even done with season 1. And I've been telling everybody that's a great show, so please check it out. It's on FX. Also,
I haven't recorded. I just haven't watched it yet, but I keep hearing how good it is.
It's really pretty good. I really enjoy it. And Walter Goggins, who was one of the main characters from The Shield, just got added as a regular for season 2, which is interesting because technically he's in prison, so I'm not sure how that's going to work, but he is a really good character on that show, though he's playing pretty much his S.H.I.E.L.D. character, but he's really good, so I'm excited about that. The other thing, this is news for you, Brian, Archer also got renewed for season 2, and the premiere date is set for, I think, January 2011. So it's a little ways out, but we've got a full, and they've got more episode, instead of a 10 episode order, it's a 13 episode order for season 2.
Fantastic.
And
I never finished that show.
It's really
good.
Oh yeah.
It's so good. It's so funny.
Yeah.
I only saw half of it. It's very funny from what I saw. I just need the rest of it.
Very tongue in cheek. I really like it. The other news is actually like kind of Doctor Who, but technically Sarah Jane Adventures news, and I'm not sure if any of you guys watch the Sarah Jane Adventures at all. Yes? No?
A little bit.
Well, last season I mainly watched because I heard that, you know, David Tennant was going to be on, so I watched up until his two-parter, which was pretty good. I really liked it. It felt more like a Doctor Who episode than a Sarah Jane Adventure episode, which was great. And this year, everybody's kind of confused because Russell T. Davies is moved to America, quit Doctor Who, yet he's still running Sarah Jane Adventures. Which is all fine and good, except that he's doing a huge Sarah Jane Adventures episode, and everybody was like, dude, if you wanted to do these huge episodes, you should just stay on Doctor Who. Basically, the 11th Doctor will be on Sarah Jane Adventures, and they're bringing back an old companion, Joe Grant, which was the companion that Sarah Jane replaced. So Joe Grant was like the big... They compared her to Rose... And the Doctor, like, the third Doctor and Joe Grant had a pretty romantic-esque relationship, as romantic as the Doctor could be. But everybody thinks that Russell T. Davies based Rose off of Joe Grant's character. And so they're bringing Joe Grant back, they're bringing the 11th Doctor, and they're riding in the TARDIS. They're actually leaving Earth and going on an adventure, which Sarah Jane has never done in the history of the show, and this is season 4. So everybody's kind of like, well, why is he... First of all, he was very clear that he was not going to write for the 11th Doctor because he said, that's Moffat's Doctor. Yet now he's writing for the 11th Doctor. But I'm still excited because, you know, Sarah Jane Adventures, when they actually do really big episodes, they're pretty good. The smaller ones are pretty bad, but I'm looking forward to it. Okay. On to the shows. Start off with a show we haven't talked about on this podcast in several weeks, which is 24, mainly because I have been negligent and stopped watching. So I'm about 4 or 5 weeks behind. So Keith, give us a rundown and tell us, is it worth watching? Do I need to crank through the episodes I still have left on my TiVo? Is it...
Well, out of all of the episodes on why not to watch, I'm really confused because finally Jack is Jack, and he is... he has entered the Jack mode that we've all loved, and we're used to seeing. Jack basically is going up against CTU. Jack is going up against the government, including Jack is going up against the president. And so it is Jack, as Jack is the best at what he does when he is doing this. I will say the episodes have gotten a lot darker than what they were a few over this entire season, because Jack is also going up against Chloe, who is in charge of CTU.
Oh.
So, yeah, it is. I mean, it is very interesting to see how their minds are playing off of one another, but trying to do things off of one another and still respect one another as they're doing this. It's completely awesome.
Okay, well then maybe I will watch the ones that are stuck on my TiVo. All right, that's a pretty good plug. All right, so maybe next week we'll actually have a full discussion on 24. No guarantees, though, but we'll see.
Can I just add a thing about Starbucks?
Go for it. Yes.
That Starbucks said that she said that, like, because basically, I guess I haven't watched the I only watched the first few episodes of this season, but I guess she's the villain. She's the mole and everything.
Right.
And I guess she said that she basically was like, she wanted to play it like very one dimensional, and I'm like, I don't know why you'd ever, why would that ever be a goal as like an actress? And so she basically was like, oh, I decided to play it really like, you know, I knew that I really played it so that I wanted everyone to hate me. I'm like, well, mission accomplished there. And she just, and yeah, I mean, it was just kind of really depressing because I was like, really? I was like, why? And then she started talking about, I guess, how her hair is always off to the side. So, like, every shot, it's always kind of the same. And I was just really, I'm not a huge Katie Sackhoff fan. I do think she was good at Starbuck, but nothing else I've seen her in has really impressed me. And it was just depressing to be like, that's how she approached it. She just was like, I'll be one-dimensional. I was like, all right. So I didn't like her on 24 from what I saw.
Oh, you and everyone else. I mean, you're right. Mission accomplished in the whole I hate you character. It wasn't even so much that I hate her. I just found her really boring, and she was part of the reason why I really wasn't liking 24. I would literally search through her episodes on my TiVo. I'd see her face and fast forward.
And not that she has, necessarily improved from moving across from the one-dimensional, but what she is right now is being the outed mole. She is definitely the adversary of Jack, and at the same time, she does a really good job of being able to keep up against Kiefer Sutherland. So even though she is, I can see her playing the one-dimensional role, she really does do a very good job going up against Jack and actually being able to be a decent adversary. So, and not in the overall scheme of things, but in the fights, in the gunfights, in, I mean, some of the scenes that those two have been doing have been just really amazing. And lots of body counts.
Oh, that's always a good clue for 24. All right.
That's true.
Let's move on to Big Bang Theory. Everybody watch? What'd you think?
Yes. It was hysterical. This, for me, was actually one of the first times I've watched Big Bang for in a long time. And if it's the one with Stan Lee, am I talking about
it? You're in the wrong episode.
Oh, it's the one that was on my...
Wait, Stan Lee? Wait, did I see the wrong episode?
No, Keith saw the wrong episode. He saw the repeat. He saw the repeat from the week before. The new episode, the new episode was, it was the whole after the breakup, and Penny and Leonard were trying to figure out how, you know, who got who in the friendship breakup, and Sheldon was feeling very, like the kid in the middle. They treated him like the kid in the divorce.
See, that's what I didn't like about the episode. I thought that the beginning was pretty funny, where he, you know, because he wants to go, isn't Penny making spaghetti or something like that?
Yeah, he wants
and
to eat dinner.
He's going to bring hot dogs over like his mom used to do. So that was funny, and it's like he's trying to avoid, like, all that stuff with the other friends. But then once he literally becomes the, well, I'm going to take him to Disneyland, I was just like, really, guys? Like, that just seems like cheap writing. I was just like, but I thought the first half was funny.
Yeah, they went a little over the top with, because at first it was a subtle kind of, oh, he's the kid in the middle. But then once they actually literally made him the kid in the middle, it was too much.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty, I especially liked him, you know, sanctioning his food and lying very poorly to everyone. That was all pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I still liked the show. I mean, yeah, that was funny.
But, I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about their breakup, if they're going to make it a big deal. You know, I'm like, eh. Because I never really cared that much about them being together. So.
Well, I want to see him get new girlfriends as the whole, like, what kind of girl would he go out with? Would she be like her? Would she be, like, nerdy? How would she, Penny, deal with it? That, I think, could be funny, but, I mean, we have to see what they do.
Right, because you know, right now in their whole we're both angsting department, I don't know if I care. So.
Yeah, I agree.
The next show I have is Chuck, and I know that for some reason none of you guys watch that show, which I don't understand. But
well, I'm curious because of Miranda from Mass Effect 2 makes me want to watch it, and then you told me she doesn't have the cool Australian accent. So
she,
I'm like, eh, maybe not.
She has a slightly okay American accent. You can hear the every once in a while you can hear her accent underneath her American accent. But, you know, it's not the point of the show. She's still pretty if you like looking at her, but...
Is that the blonde girl?
Yes. Yes.
Well, if you only want to look at her, isn't that what the internet is for?
True. And actually, she's a brunette in Mass Effect 2. She's blonde on the show?
Yeah, she's blonde in real life, I believe.
I don't know if I like that.
That's brilliant. Well, this week's episode was they got back from their big we're gonna run away together. It was Sarah and Chuck had run away together to quit being spies so they could be with each other, and the part of the conflict or the thing is basically showing them their future. One thing I wanted to call shenanigans on is Sarah is willing to quit being a spy and give up her career for Chuck. And then he asks her to move in with him, and she's like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that level of commitment. I'm like, are you kidding me? You quit your job and were willing to run away with him anywhere in the world with no money, yet he asks you to move into his apartment, and you're like, well, that's a little deep. That's a little too much. So the whole episode was there was this old married couple who were spies, and they were supposed to be learning from these guys how to be spies after they're together for years. And Chuck thought it was great, and Sarah, of course, was all, you know, scared because she had cold feet. And I was just like, if she was going to have cold feet, she would have had them before they ran away together. So I call, again, shenanigans. But it ended pretty well. I mean, she does move in, and all that is resolved. And she's like, oh, I was just nervous, but I'm fine now. I felt like that was false tension. But the episode itself was fun. I mean, the older couple who were spies were all drunks and idiots, and it was pretty amusing. So it was a good, funny episode, and Casey had to teach Morgan how to become a spy. So they had to teach him how to use a gun and teach him how to run spy missions, which was as funny as it sounds. So that storyline was pretty good. The next show up is Castle. Brian, you go.
I really like this episode. The murder of the week was pretty entertaining. It had some good twists. I really liked the whole interplay between Beckett and her new beau, whose name I forget.
Well, it's Michael Trucco is the actor.
Or wannabe beau, or...
What's his
name? Michael Trucco?
Michael
yes.
Trucco is the actor. Playing.
I've seen him in, like, a ton of things, but I'm like, you know, it's that guy, you know?
He's from Battlestar Galactica. That's where he's from.
That's right. He was, what, Anders?
Yes, that is correct.
That's right. Yeah, he's great on the show.
Well, what throws me off is, one, he's extremely good looking, and they're doing a good job of making his character fun. So when they have him on screen for a while, I actually forget that Nathan Fillion's on the show. Because he seems like a leading man, and you're following him, and then you're like, oh, wait, it's Nathan Fillion's show. Like, especially the episode where they introduced him. There was very little Nathan in the show because they were really trying to introduce the new guy, and it actually threw me off. This
Maybe
episode
to kill Nathan.
I doubt that, but I think that this episode was a better balance. I thought it was a better balance between Castle and the what is his name is on the show? I forgot the cop.
I totally forget.
Well, Michael Trucco. It was a better balance between those two characters, so I think they shared the screen better.
The other pretty man. Basically,
yes.
Besides Nathan Fillion, that's all I know.
Well, the only thing is, I mean, they're showing that that Castle really likes Beckett and showing that he's jealous and everything. So they're giving us that, and this episode also gave you a little bit of that Beckett didn't like him dating, which was the point of him dating her friend was because he wanted to make her jealous. Mission,
right.
Mission accomplished. So, I don't even remember what the case was, but the character stuff was pretty good.
It was the chef, or whatever. Yeah, it was alright. One thing I didn't like about the episode is, like, his daughter was, like, straining over that choice. Remember the choice to either study?
Which I thought was ridiculous. Why is she making that choice at all?
Right, and that was ridiculous. Plus the whole cop-out with her using him as blame, basically, so she didn't have to make the choice after he's all like, make your choice, make your choice.
Well, my thing is, she's in high school, okay? She has finals coming up. She wants to go on this trip. Her dad goes, you can't go on the trip because you have finals coming up. The end. She's not in college. She's not in college, so I don't understand why it was her choice in the first place.
Because it's TV, and, you know, don't we watch all sorts of shows where teenagers make all sorts of choices?
Well, not that they discuss with their parents. Like, she was openly having this discussion with him.
Well, he's the cool dad, so...
Well, there's being a cool dad, and then there's being an irresponsible dad, you know? And that felt more like... That, instead of being a cool dad, felt like I am irresponsible dad. Yeah, I didn't like that either.
And can I just say one thing about House, even though I know you didn't see it, just one thing?
Go for it.
Chase, House, and Foreman do karaoke. One of the best things ever. That's all I'm going to say about that episode since you haven't seen it. But it's worth... The episode itself is okay, but that bit right there, best thing ever.
Well, knowing that Hugh Laurie and... Jesse, thank you. That's his real name. Knowing that both of them are actual real musicians, because I actually got to see them, you know, live performing.
I was
so you know that they're actually really good performers. So, yay. I'm looking forward to that. I actually had heard about it, but I totally forgot the episode was new. I was looking at my TiVo, and for some reason my eyes just skipped past the House episode. I didn't realize it was a new one, so my fault.
Even though I don't like House, that may actually... allow me to desire to actually watch the episode.
Make negative V pants.
Well, you know, hey, karaoke, if they do a good job, that's always fun.
They do a fantastic job. It's hilarious.
All right, V this week. I remember after I watched it, I wanted to call somebody. I was, like, I finished the episode and I just started, it was so late. My problem, of course, is I watch my episodes in the middle of the night, so there's nobody to call, but... This was the end especially was a really good episode. This was the most excited I've been about V in a while. So, yay. Tell me somebody else who watched it, right?
I have it on my DVR.
What? Brian? No?
I gave up on it.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Alright.
I prefer Parenthood.
Whatever, man.
Oh my goodness!
I'm going to talk.
That is exactly what DVRs are for, Olivia. I'm right there. If we didn't have to watch so many other things to get caught up on, we were going to stay up and watch V last night, but we didn't.
I've said this to Olivia, and Olivia kind of was the one who told me, well, then I shouldn't watch the show. I actually don't have a problem with most of the cast. My problem is, I don't really have an interest in watching another show about some kind of aliens versus people, and the people have to do some resistance, and I was like, really, another resistance? And that's when Libby is like, well, that's the show. So,
well, then look for me on Skype, and I will tell you all the good things about why you should be watching V.
Don't worry.
Especially since they've come back from the hiatus, the show just really rocks.
Well, the big thing about this week's episode is that they consider themselves freedom fighters and whatnot, and this time they actually get on the news as terrorists because they call themselves shooting down a shuttle that's got nothing but weapons on it, and then after they blow it up, it's got human body parts everywhere. And the priest especially freaks out because he's kind of like, you know, we're supposed to be doing good and we've killed people. And he is completely, you know, lost his mind and is freaking out about it. And the FBI agent, you know, everybody is kind of individually dealing with their conscience on, you know, they thought that they had completed this mission. They thought that they had done something good and it turned out to be very, very bad. And they're doing something interesting with the reporter, because you don't, at first, at least for several episodes, you didn't know whether you could trust him or not, even though I was like, man, I don't trust that guy, because he keeps acting like he wants to join the fifth column, yet he's reporting, he's talking to Anna, and you're not sure where his loyalties lie. In this episode, it's pretty much he's believing in Anna, and he's trying to get the fifth column to, he's trying to expose them and get secrets from them, and the priest, unfortunately, believes them. And so the priest is giving, he's not giving everything away, but he's thinking, oh, maybe we can recruit this guy. Because, you know, he's so close to Anna, then he would be a great resource. But right. His thing is, oh, if I report fifth column stuff back to Anna, then she'll give me more reward. So
right. I'll get even closer to Anna.
Exactly. And so that's going really, really badly for them right now. And the other thing that's really, really interesting is the fact that Anna's daughter is having doubts about the program. She actually witnessed what they do to the humans that they brought on board. And her feelings for Tyler have really actually, you know, made her care about him. And she doesn't want anything to happen to him. So she basically breaks up with him and tells him not to come on board. Which I thought was an interesting choice. And I wasn't sure how she was going to explain it to her mother. Which ended up being very badly. Like, her mother immediately knew she was lying. And immediately knew that she had gone off program. And so she's like, oh, my plan didn't work and he broke up with me. And blah, blah, blah. And her mom just looks, Anna just looks at her, backhands her, gives her a huge black eye, and says, oh, we're gonna tell everybody Fifth Column found you and beat you up. And then she looks over at the guards and goes, break her legs, and then walks off. I was like, whoa!
Ooh, that's gonna lead so well into them having to rescue her and make her, not make her, but where she's leading to become the new fifth column member.
Well, her plan, Anna's plan, is to have Tyler rescue her. So then Tyler will care about her again and get him on board the ship as her protector. That's Anna's plan, which is not a bad plan. Next up is Glee.
Finally, Glee is actually, since they've come back, I really thought the episodes have been all over the place.
And I agree. Without
very, very little focus. And,
awful.
I didn't want to use the word awful, but at
they
least
were
this week. Freaking
awful.
Well, this week, at least it's starting to become less awful.
See, I felt the exact opposite. I couldn't even finish this last episode. I was so annoyed, frustrated, put off, whatever you want to use. I just can't watch it anymore. I might tune back in for the Joss Whedon MPH episode in a few weeks, but it's just so... The way I describe it to a friend is I'm on a road trip with a bunch of friends that I'm liking less and less with every mile, and they have to sing to every road sign, and no one's driving the car anymore. So that's how I feel about Glee.
But
that's
this,
a good analogy.
I mean, hopefully, I will agree with you, with the exception that where I can use that analogy, the problem is you know that you're going on vacation with these friends, and it only takes 2 days to get there, but you have 2 weeks to do things before you get there, and you have not talked about what are we going to do along the way. And that's really what it feels like. The last couple of episodes, the writers, I'm assuming they didn't fire the writers, but it's like the writers had no idea, okay, wait, we're coming back and everyone loves us, and we know that we got to go to competition. But that's only going to be 2 episodes. What are we going to do for the rest of the 8 episodes? And that's what it's really has felt like. So,
well, I actually think that some of the stuff that they've done has been pretty good. In the last 2 episodes, they focused on other characters other than the main characters, who I actually find to be kind of bland. So we're spending more time with Kurt. We're spending more time with Mercedes. We're spending more time with all the other secondary characters. And I like them. I think that they're interesting, and I'm fine.
But they're not doing it in a way to where it continues the story. You know, to bring back an old television show by the name of Babylon 5. They can actually have beer episodes, and they can have other episodes that focus on people, but it still promoted the ongoing season that's going on. And now, with Glee at least, they're not promoting the storyline that's supposed to be there, that they did such a great job of at the beginning of the first half of the season.
I mean, I would say that I actually think I agree with all three of you. I didn't see the new episode, but like, I don't know, like the first, the before the break, you know, it was all about, I think it's the regionals or it's
right.
The, they're now about the nationals, I think, right?
It's regionals.
Oh, so they're about the regionals, and like, it was really good, and it was tight, and it moved everything along, we got to know the characters, and then of course, by the break, they pretty much finished everything, so it basically could have been the end of the season. Like, I mean, it's everything's resolved. And I felt like for when they came back from the break, they kind of had to just start making stuff up, like, oh, now there's this guy that likes Rachel, but maybe he's on the other team. And I was just like, oh, I don't care about any of this. I do agree with Olivia, though. I did like seeing Kurt and Mercedes. Like, I do like those characters, and I was like, yay, we get to see them and hang out with them more. And I like Kurt's relationship with his dad and all that stuff. But I would agree that Keith, ultimately, I think he is right. It lacks, like, a narrative that's really pushing forward. I just really feel like these are just kind of, like, afterthought plot threads that I'm just like, I don't care about any of this, you know, but I haven't given up hope like Brian. I feel like maybe they're gonna wobble out on the first season, but they'll have time to think about what they want to do the second season, which I'm assuming they have a second season.
Yes, they do have a second season,
and they can come up with something. And I will say, I still think what's her name, I think Jane Lynch has always still been funny. I still like her.
Oh yeah, definitely. Sylvester, this episode was kind of about her. It was about her whole, you know, she embarrassed herself doing the Olivia Newton-John video, which I thought was an interesting look at her character, especially she went back and visited with her sister, and
which is awesome.
Right, and I thought all of that was really good character development for her. She actually got a feeling for what it felt to be humiliated, which she's never felt before. And all the stuff with Sue was really, really good. The only thing I thought was kind of dumb was how Sue manipulated the other teacher and got her to go off on Will. Even though Will did need, to be broken down, I just felt it was a little too easy to manipulate the other teacher.
Well, wait. I just want to say, I'd like to hear from Brian, because I remember Brian, you know, famously Twittered that he was done with Glee. Now, Brian, you like Sue Sylvester. It sounds like this episode was about Sue Sylvester, but you didn't like the episode.
I've been getting more and more annoyed with all the characters, even Sue to a bit. I mean, they're just becoming more and more unlikable and unrelatable to me.
Hmm.
And even though this was an episode about Sue, who's my favorite character on the show, I just could not get past how much I really dislike everyone. And really just wanted to smack them up all upside their heads.
Well, it's interesting because, and I want to throw this out here, because I saw the last episode of Glee, not the most recent one. There is a scene in the episode where I think Mercedes does her big song, and then the guy comes to interview Sue Sylvester, and he's like, you know, I totally thought that you were all just about, you know, winning, and you didn't care about anybody else, but I was totally wrong, Sue. You did a great job. And then there's a pause, and of course, Sue can either say, yes, that is right, or she could do what I thought she should have done, which honestly, I thought would have been funnier. I thought Sue should have said, that was not my idea at all, because I think Sue is so proud and so, like, focused on her way or the highway, that I actually think she would be insulted that that this guy actually thought that Mercedes' thing was better. I actually thought it would have been much more interesting. So I'm sorry. So I just wanted to see what you guys thought of that.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I thought she was gonna go the other way and say what she thought.
Exactly, because that would have been funny, and it would have been true to her character, but she doesn't. She's like, okay, I'll take the good press. And I was
She does like her image, though. She is a fan of having really good press.
And she will use that to her advantage in the future. See, that's what I saw it as, is she's taking this press... this story's going to be there. It doesn't necessarily matter if she's really that way or not. Now she has another piece of golden nugget for her to use for her own agenda.
And you're right, and what you're saying makes total sense. I guess it was just when the scene was happening, when I was in the moment, I was really waiting for Sue to go off on this guy, and I just thought it would have been really funny, you know. But I see what you're saying. It makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
And with her sister, I think there's glimpses of Sue to where when she does the right thing, we can automatically just, you know, envision her sister around her, because that is where the real human Sue is.
Which, by the way, I don't know if anybody watches this. I noticed I said this the last podcast, but this first season of Party Down, which was made by Rob Thomas, who made Veronica Mars, Jane Lynch is on that, and it's funny to see her play a character that, I mean, she's still Jane Lynch because her acting is a certain way, but she's much more like this kind of character you feel bad for. Like, she's not as cocky. It's kind of interesting. Like,
oh yeah, I saw a commercial for that. It looks pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I've been telling Libby to watch it. It's good. Yeah, I totally recommend it. Thanks for it. And it's on Netflix Instant and everything, so it's easy to see.
There you go. Even better.
All right. Final comments about Glee, because we're going to move on.
Okay, Glee, I think, I know that right now it's wobbling. I do believe that we're going to get an episode out there fairly soon that brings everything together, because we do have to finish the season and where they're going in the season. So I guess my hope in the show is we get that, we need to re-solidify, we're going to have an amazing finale, and boom, season two's coming.
All right. I hope you're right.
Okay. Modern Family.
Fantastic. I can't wait. I just waited for an hour. So
funny. Oh, my God. I was laughing so hard at this last episode because it was so damn quotable. There were so many good quotes.
My only disappointment was that, Ed O'Neill's character is given a birthday surprise where the family is all going to, well, he thinks it's only going to be him and his wife. And then it ends up being the entire family is going to be going to Hawaii. And the first episode of a two-parter is that it's basically them at the airport, all the characters. And it was just, I don't know, I really like Modern Family. It's so funny.
Oh, like, there was, when Phil is describing how he breaks into a house, how he's like a ninja. But, you know, robbers leave clues behind, but he's clueless.
Yeah, that's great. That was make it a little harder on the next guy. That was good. And, you know what? And I will say, I think they've really done a really interesting job with the gay couple. I'm really bad with
fantastic. Games. They're fantastic.
Totally fantastic. Which one's the bigger guy?
That's Cam, I believe.
I love how Cam is such a kind of, he's such a queen. Like, when you talk about Wall Street and everything, but he's also, like, this huge sports fan, because he was a football...
Yeah.
He's such an interesting, like... He's kind of both sides of, male and female. I just really like that about him.
He's multi-layered. All the characters in the show.
I thought... actually, I don't think there's any character on the show... I mean, the kids, the boy and the two sisters, like, they're okay, but, I mean, really... there's really no characters that I dislike, kind of like your Glee thing.
No, I like them all. No, I disliked Phil at first. I thought he was just like a doofus, but I've really grown to adore him. Because he is just so fantastic. Like, when he was taking Claire, who was clearly drunk, through the ticket thing, he's like, pretend to be a zombie!
Yeah, that was pretty funny. I thought it was really funny. Like I said, I just wished it was a 1 hour Marvel, because I really wanted to see Hawaii. I was just like, oh, come on. I was like, I want to see the next episode. So
I don't mind waiting. I think it'll be worth it. Is that the finale? Is next week the finale? I think it is.
You're right. Technically, I think it's pretty much over now. So
I think it is, but it's been such an amazing season. It's been funny from the start, you know, which is rare.
It reminds me of, and I'm hoping they don't have the same problem, because, I mean, Livia, or you guys might know, does Modern Family get, obviously it gets good reviews, does it get good ratings?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I'm going to say, the ratings are pretty good.
It has been renewed.
Okay, good, because the problem that you know, I would say the heir, this is, I would say Modern Family is the heir apparent to Arrested Development.
Exactly.
And I love Arrested Development, but the problem Arrested Development ran into was that because it didn't have good ratings, the second and then especially the third season, they had to start doing a lot of, like, celebrity cameos. And to me, the strength of a show like Modern Family or Arrested Development is you stick with your core group, and that's pretty much the show. Like, I don't mind having Shelley Long on, but, I mean, it's really just the interaction of the 6 to 8 main characters.
Right.
And Arrested Development, because of the ratings problem, they had to have, like, oh, now we'll have Charlize Theron. And it was like, it wasn't as good, you know. So I hope Modern Family
yeah.
stick to what works really well.
No, it has been working very well for them. Like I said, they got renewed, so yippee. I mean, this is one of those shows I'm buying on DVD today.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I mean, I downloaded it on Apple TV, and I've rewatched episodes over and over.
So have I.
It's funny, you know.
The one where...
The bicycle one?
I love the one where Cam is a clown, Fizbo.
Oh, that's fantastic!
That's probably my favorite one.
That's great. Yeah, that's a really good one. Libby, you gotta watch it, man. It's really good.
It's really goddamn funny.
I'll borrow it from Peter since he's got it all on Apple TV. Let's go on to 30 Rock.
Oh, 30 Rock was good. Oh, actually, no. I take that back. 30 Rock was just okay. It was a Mother's Day episode, and I love Jack Donaghy's mother. Everything with her is great. But, you know, I don't really like the Jen Hooks is... I've seen some terrible things. Oh, Jenna. Jenna's mom is Jen Hooks. I don't really care about that character. A lot of those things, I was like, yeah, it's all right.
Well, actually, I found Tracy Morgan's mom, fake mom, to be the most interesting, mainly because they want us to believe that Tracy doesn't remember who his mother is. So they have to hire an actress to pretend to be his mother. And I have to give him credit. She looks like him. And she gave him the mother guilt because he wanted his mother to be famous, and he was like, "Your resume is not full enough.
Right.
You've only been in these 3 shows. You are not suitable to be my mother." And she totally gave him a guilt trip, and it was great.
That's funny. I agree.
Yeah.
I did like that.
Everybody else's mother, I agree with you, was sort of lukewarm and forgettable. But I like the idea of having a Mother's Day episode where everybody brought their mothers on.
I like the idea also. I agree.
Yeah, the execution was so-so. But I'd say about half of the episode was entertaining. Oh, and I did like the moment where, the new guy, the new actor on the show, he brings his mother in and she's Japanese. And somebody walks up to him and he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you were adopted." And he's like, "What? I'm adopted?" He's like, "Mom, how could you never tell me that?" So I thought that was a one-liner, and it was still pretty good. All right, and real quick, let's go to Fringe. And I know that you're frustrated because you didn't get to watch the new one. But
no, I felt like I had to watch. Even though you told me I didn't need to watch the musical, and I quote musical episode, I felt like I needed to watch it in order. But the problem was that once we finished the musical episode, my wife Julia was so like. That was so lame. She didn't want to watch the next Fringe episode. And I was like, "No, I heard it's good. She's like, "Oh, I'm going to bed." I was like, "Oh, all right." So that's why I didn't get to see that. I'll watch it probably later today. But
So tell us what you thought of the lame musical episode.
Well, I just thought it was like, it was exactly what you said. It was like, you know, Joss Whedon really, I think everybody here, I know Brian, Libby, and I are Buffy fans. I don't know if Keith is. Keith?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Okay,
good.
So when Joss Whedon did the Buff once more with Feeling episode, he not only took the chance with the fact that it was a musical episode, but he dared to make the episode be plot important. Because major things happen to the characters in that episode. In this episode, nothing of value happened. So it was like, there's no reason for it to exist. And as you said, Libya, before, the episode was about basically that Peter had stolen his heart. It was like so literal, and I was just like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me." Like, and even the heart mechanism wasn't interesting. And he's telling the story to this little girl. I think, Libby, you disagree. I didn't even think the little girl was that good of an actress. I thought she was kind of meh. And they didn't really sing that much. And then the only person who could really sing was Astrid. And I thought, but even she doesn't have much to sing. I mean, it's like they each got maybe, what, a verse and a chorus?
Right. I thought Broyles sang pretty well.
He's okay. He was he was probably second best, but she could clearly sing. I was like, oh, she can sing, but I mean, there's not much to, they didn't have much to do.
Right.
And also nothing worse than bad film noir. Like, I mean, I love that genre of film, but if you can't pull it off, it's just painful. It's just so bad. You know, just putting a fedora on does not make it film noir. It's just so lame. I was just like, oh man. Yeah, so I did not like it.
I absolutely agree with you. This week's episode was better. It was a very Peter-centric episode. It was basically we get to see what he's doing. Because we know he ran away, whatever, we don't know where he is. And this episode was all about, he basically solves the case on his own. So, the episode is 90% Peter. And 10% we get to see Walter angsting a little bit, and them figuring out something. And I have to say, I made a call, like, I think it was 2 weeks ago, when they were on that bridge, and who I thought it was on the bridge... I win. I don't know what kind of prize I win, but I win a prize because I totally called it.
Well, wait. Can we say or?
Yeah, we just got it revealed. It was the alternate.
Oh yeah, that's what I think you would. Yeah. Well, wait. I didn't know you had made that, because I remember when I was watching the episode before I actually talked to you about it. I think I said the same thing, but
we watched the episode together. I was at your house watching the episode, and I called alternate.
Oh, that's right. Maybe you, because I was like, I tend to recall someone in the room, and that was you.
So. Yes, thank you. I made that call, and this week at the end of the episode, they capture Peter, and alternate comes in, and he's like, "Hello, son," and he's all clean cut. He's all clean cut and shaven and pristine, and so not Walter. And you just see the look on Peter's face, like, oh crap, like he doesn't know how to react exactly, because the whole reason he ran away from the other Walter was because he stole him, and so now he actually is with his real father. So now what? But he doesn't know the man, so it's kind of, I'm excited.
Can I say, as long as we're dealing with predictions, even though Libya shot this down in the first season and with good reason, I still feel like they're either never going to deal with it, or they're going to deal with it as a reveal. I don't think Dunham has a alternate. I don't think she has an alternate version of herself.
Oh, I think she does. That's why I shot it down last time, because you were wrong.
The reason you think she does is because when she was switching in the office, someone was in the room, and no one was like, "Who the hell are you?" Which to you makes them go, "Well, obviously, if Broyles knows who she is, that must mean that there's a version of her in that universe." And I completely get what you're saying. I think
they call her by name.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It just, there's something about it where the way the show works, it feels like that wouldn't be very, you know, like Peter, there's only one version because the other one's dead. Walter, there's going to be two of them. It feels like just the way you'd structure a show, it doesn't feel like that would be very compelling. It feels like they have, there's got to be something about Olivia's place in the universe. Because also, she's also the one who can see things special.
Well, that's because she got experimented on as a child. That doesn't exempt the fact that there could be an alternate version of her in the other universe.
What it might be is they might just not deal with it.
That's quite possible they don't deal with it, but they've shown with evidence that there's obviously another version of her.
Yeah.
So, Peter, are you saying that there has to be something different about her because the other two have their own uniqueness with the show,
yes,
compared to the both of the realities, and so
right,
she herself must have a uniqueness also,
that is
whatever that uniqueness is.
Correct.
Well, the only problem with that is either she has an alternate like Walter, or she's the only one like Peter, so that doesn't make her unique. She's one or the other.
Or in the other universe, she had a sex change now.
Yeah!
Fantastic.
Okay, there you go. Thinking out of the side of the box, Keith. I love it. All right. I missed Stargate Universe. Do you want to talk about it for 5 seconds, or we can move on?
Yeah,
Was it good enough to talk about or not?
Yes. Yeah. Well, because I think Stargate Universe, I know some people have given up on it, but really, especially since we watched like 3 episodes in a row, there's definitely a storytelling to it that they're finally doing, and episodes are actually building on one another, and they're actually showing character development with a number of the people that's on the ship. So, Rush is finally human. I really wasn't sure for a long time, but they talked about what made him into the person, that he is. The other thing that they are that's kind of ongoing is they're trying to take more and more control of the ship of Destiny, instead of having the course laid out for them, and that's kind of the ongoing storyline along with the aliens who's trying to obviously capture, kill whatever that they're doing. So yeah, I mean it was a good episode. It was a good episode, but it was also very Stargate-ish in a couple of different ways also. But since it's Stargate Universe, go figure.
Well, I plan on watching this week's episode. I ran out of time this week, and I apologize. But let's get on to some other shows that I know all of us watch, which is Doctor Who. And this episode was a big one. It was called A Time of Angels, and it involved my girl River Song and the Weeping Angels. So,
favorites.
Open up the. Open it up.
Awesome. That was great.
I had to pause the episode. Because I was watching it at night, and I paused it and went, "I'm gonna have nightmares if I watch this." So I paused it, went to sleep, and then finished it the next morning.
I did the exact same thing, actually.
You guys are wimps.
Yeah, I did the opposite, because I do like horror, so I watched it in the middle of the night, all the lights off, and it freaked me out. But I liked that feeling, so... but yeah, it was really good.
Oh, God, it was so fantastic.
I think
one of the best episodes of the new season.
I think the opening sequence before the tease, before the credit, was the best tease I've seen on Doctor Who in, like, 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, it was a good tease. Although, actually, my favorite moment of the show was actually the scene where, I always want to, is it Amelia Pond? Is that her name?
Yes, but it goes by Amy, so.
Amy, when Amy's in the room with the monitor of the angel, that was freaky. Like, I just.
Oh, my goodness, yes. That's terrifying. The part that made me actually pause and watch it later. Because I was freaking out. And I was watching that, and I was like, I can't watch this at 2 o'clock in the morning.
The part that freaked me out the most is when you see all the statues, they're in the big hall, and they turn out the light for a second, and they turn it back on, and all the statues have moved, and you're like, oh, God. And then you see, like, one on the floor, like, reaching out to them, and then they realize they're all angels, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, they're so effective. It's so effective. These like statue props or whatever, but they're so scary, like, you know.
Yeah.
They're really creepy. And actually, I do wonder, and I don't know, because I know that maybe Livia, you can shed some light on this, because you watch, don't you watch like the Doctor Who Confidential where they talk about the shows and everything?
I used to when it was David Tennant. I have not been as motivated with Matt Smith.
Well, have they, in the episode of Blink, because you would have watched the Blink one
right.
for that. Do they just go nuts in the prop department? Because, I mean, they have to. That's a lot of statues to make. So
yeah, they make those statues, yeah.
Yeah, just, and in this episode, there's so many of them. I was just like, it would take forever to make all those.
Well, I can't guarantee that they make all of those. Some of those, I'm sure, are CGI. Like that whole, you know, the cavern when you see
all
of them. Oh,
that's true, right.
That's probably all CGI.
But the one Brian's talking about, when it looks like it's about to touch them, that looks pretty real.
Right,
that looks
right.
like it's just a statue. Like, but
so freaky. Oh my
yeah,
god!
Yeah, I thought it was a really good episode. I thought the opening was good, and I think Libya will say more about this. I am getting a little tired of the new Doctor, who I think is good. A little tired of he gets these emotional outbursts where he gets really mad at everybody. I think the idea is that, even though he's the 11th Doctor, because he's in a young body, it's almost like he's supposed to be younger. But as Livia, in our private conversation, has said, he's not like he's 15, where it's hormonal. You can go from there.
Oh, yeah. I had a great deal of frustration with the Doctor's temper tantrums. And I don't buy the whole he's in a younger body, that's why he's having temper tantrums. Because he's not in a 15-year-old body. He's still in a 25-year-old body. And at that point, if you're having temper tantrums, that's all you. And he's 900 years old, so it's not the body. It's the new personality, and I just don't like it.
I love it, honestly. I think it's great. It gives me chills.
It doesn't work for me. I don't believe him. I don't feel like he's being dark. I just feel like he's being petty. And it doesn't make me afraid of him. It doesn't give me the feeling I think it's supposed to. I just get annoyed. I'm like, stop yelling at people. Because it's not like he's yelling at people for a reason. It just feels like he's yelling because he's mad and he's taking it out on other people. And I just find that to be very petty. And I liked it when he did it with the Daleks because he's got the history with the Daleks. So I'm like, fine, you can yell at the Daleks. That's your thing. But just yelling at Amy and just yelling at just whoever, it doesn't work for me. I don't want to do negative. My actual first comment I wanted to make was that I absolutely love River Song, and I absolutely love her in this episode. And from beginning to end, I like the fact that they give us clues about her backstory without really telling us anything. They drop more hints, and you're like, well, what does it mean that she's not who and what, you know, the doctor thinks she is, and then is he married to her or not? And I like their relationship, you know, and you know, she totally has him in check, and I think it's fantastic. Yeah. So all of this stuff with River, I just really, really like. And she's just got such a personality.
That's one of the things I loved about this episode also, is it felt like three episodes in one. There were so many things going on and so much characterization being built upon the new doctor and Amy and River, and it was just amazing. And then we also had the angels and the weeping angels and all of that going on. So it felt really like, to me, as I was watching it, and I broke it up into like actually watching it into three different settings, and it felt like three different episodes. And I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it again.
And I also like to add that I thought that, like, one of my biggest complaints, I've said this on the last podcast, is I didn't like how it seemed like Russell T. Davies, and a little bit with Moffat, I don't like going back to the well and always using the Daleks and using the creatures we've seen before. However, since Moffat created the Weeping Angels, and they've only been in one thing, they were in Blink, I was actually very intrigued to see the angels again, because I was like, oh, I can't. And they're not quite the exact same angels, because I think, Libya, there's a line about that the angels from Blink, are they more like scavengers or something it allowed them to tweak some of the rules, you know. But, you know, I mean, it's usually I don't like that kind of stuff, but for the most part I was okay with that. I was like, okay, well, it was a little different and everything, but I just think the angels are, they're just a really good villain. They're a really good, like, force of nature or something. They're so scary.
They really are just a fantastic villain. They're so damn creepy, and they just pull it off so damn well every time.
Well, you know, it was also, the thing about this one was it was a first part of a two-parter, and I have to say that the cliffhanger for this one was really good, because I watched it in a group, and when we got to the end of the episode, everybody was leaning towards the television, and then when it goes to the credits, everyone's screaming like, no!
Yeah, I think we all had the same reaction, like, damn it!
So it was a really good cliffhanger, and it really got you into the episode, and I think it's one of the strongest ones. I mean, the premiere was a very strong episode, the second one's okay,
yeah.
The third one was blah, and this one was back to being a very strong episode. So
yeah, I was nervous, because the first episode to me was like an A, and then the second episode I was like, nah, it's kind of a B, and then the Dalek episode was a C, and I was like, oh, this is not good.
You're being kinder than what I was, because even on the first episode, I called it maybe a B-ish. But
oh, no, I loved the first episode.
But the doctor, though, I always look at, when you switch a doctor, you got to give it 40 minutes for them to figure out what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
And then you got the save. And I was all good with that. But then when they followed up with the next episode, and I actually fell asleep during the Dalek episode, and asked Libby if I should rewatch it, and she said no.
Yeah, the Dalek episode really, it was pretty lame.
I will say one thing, and Libby, you'll probably hate me for this, but
okay.
I think I like Smith a little more than Tennant.
I'm not gonna hate you for it. I'm just gonna say you're a little crazy, because I mean, I like Smith, but he's already got little things about him that are already getting on my nerves. Like his little thing where he walks up to somebody, gets in their personal space, stares in their eyes, and goes moves his head back and forth like he's looking at one eye and then looking at the other, like he's gonna figure something out by staring at your eyes.
I love that.
That annoys the crap out of me.
That's fantastic, because that's so something I think the doctor would do.
I actually think he would do it, but he doesn't have to do it every episode. That's not necessary. I hate his call sign, Geronimo.
He said it twice.
He said it twice. Okay. He said it at the end. He said it in this episode, I think. But
no, he didn't. I would have no.
He says it. He said it twice. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, I mean the Geronimo doesn't bother me that much. But I like him, I do. But the thing is when he's supposed to be dangerous, I don't feel the danger. I don't feel the chill.
I disagree, and you know, at the end of this episode, I mean, I understand like the first episode, but at the end of this episode, to me, that's what was part of the cliffhanger, is because I believed what he said.
Oh, I believed. I totally did believe that he was going to, you know, it's like, don't put me in the middle of the trap. I thought that was great. Yeah, I totally believed it. But that's not what I mean by being dark and, well, that was sort of dark and dangerous. I'll give you that. But it's more like when he does his whole, you know, temper tantrum thing, I'm supposed to think that he's dark and dangerous. And like I said, I feel like he's a kid. Like he's just having a temper tantrum versus being scary. Like, normally, with Tennant, when he starts yelling at people, I jump. Like, it really scares me. When the 11th Doctor yells at people, I'm like, why are you yelling at people? Because I think part of it is the reason, too. Like, the reason why he's yelling. Like, it gave me the chills a little bit when he was yelling at the Daleks, because you know where that comes from. You know where that anger comes from. But when he yelled at Amy and the Beast Below, I was like, why are you being a jerk? And then there's another yelling, which I can't talk about yet. But the other yelling scene, I felt like it was like, blah. You know, I don't buy him as the Dark Doctor. There's nothing really particularly dark about him. I mean, he's great
but
when he's funny. I really do like that.
He doesn't have to be as dark as Tennant. I mean, that's the whole purpose of having another personality.
Right, I agree, but I feel like he's trying. Like, all the yelling and stuff feels like he's trying to be dark, and it doesn't quite work for me. If he wasn't yelling, if he was just being the kind of funny yelling around and, you know, jumping around and doing what he normally does, like, all of that would be great. I mean, I have no problem with that aspect of his character at all. Like, that's great. But it's just, I feel like he's trying to be dark, and it doesn't work.
And see, when he's being dark, to me, he's not yelling. It's when he is more quiet.
Yeah.
And he is, to me, that's when he's actually being dark. I mean, because he just so naturally is loud and is running all over the place, and that's his normal personality.
Right.
It's when he actually slows down and gives you that look. And then it's just like, oh, man, okay, that's being the dark, beware of the Doctor.
Well, then what do you could call the yelling then? What is that? That's my problem, is the yelling.
I call it ADHD.
He's not fully emotionally stable or something, or maybe it's still a new body, so maybe he's not.
It's not, no, I can't, I mean, maybe in the first or second episode, sure, it's a new body and he's stabilizing, but actually I'm slightly cheating. The yelling I'm talking about is actually in the next episode.
But with that, maybe it's just a flaw in someone's personality.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, I don't like it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, but that's not him being dark. To me, I see him being dark is when he actually does slow down and is very purposeful, and when he says something, to me, that's when he's most dark.
Well, then I guess I haven't seen that yet. Because it's just, I don't...
Yes, we did. We saw at the end of this last episode. When he actually looks up with the gun, and he says, don't put me in this place. That, to me, is when that he was being one of the darkest that I've seen the 11th Doctor so far.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I believed him when he was like, don't put me in the trap. I was like, oh, that's awesome. But I didn't think that was dark. I just thought that, okay, he's going to get them out of the trap, and he's going to be the hero, and he's going to do what he always does.
Actually, that to me reminded me back of, and I can't remember which, it was the episode when Donna was first introduced, and at the end of the episode, basically he's telling the Spider Queen, you know, don't make me do this, don't make me do this, and then he basically is just allowing this destruction to go on, and Donna has to stop him. To me, it was very similar.
There was no destruction. I totally disagree. Because that was seriously dark, the scene you're talking about. This was not. This was nowhere near that level.
Not that level, but the being very purposeful. I'm saying the characteristics.
Eh, I don't think I buy it yet. But I do like the 11th Doctor. Don't get me wrong. I do like him. Like him better than Tennant, I think you're crazy. But let's move on from Doctor Who, because everyone has varied in individual opinions. And let's go on to Supernatural, the penultimate of the season.
Oh!
And what did you guys think?
It was such... I mean, they had a lot of ground to cover, and I was worried that, you know, putting two horsemen in one episode and everything, I was worried that, you know, it was going to feel rushed. But it didn't. I thought it was handled so well. Matt Frewer as Pestilence was just
he was
fantastic.
Creepy. He wins the creepy award.
No, but I think the one who was the creepy was the guy who played Death.
He was super creepy too. The reason I thought the Pestilence was super creepy was when he goes and sits next to that woman, the old woman, and he's like, "Oh, how are you feeling this evening?" And he's smiling at her and tells her that she's got all these diseases. And I was like, "Oh,
oh no."
That was great. And I have to say, the brothers win the Stupid Awards this week because they go up against Pestilence with a gun and a knife, and that's it. Like, nothing else? Like, they didn't have any... Like, I would have showed up in a hazmat suit or something, you know? So,
yeah.
They
couldn't get one. I don't know. Maybe they couldn't get their hands.
Oh, come on. But, I mean, if you finally find Pestilence, you're going to just walk in with a knife against Pestilence? I don't think so.
They're probably hoping...
Actually...
I'm thinking.
Well, and I was going to say is, knife, gun, I would have had an angel. or someone, something, because...
They did have a semi-angel. But
well, actually, they've de-angeled Castiel, and my friend...
She's so sad.
Well, one of my friends said she's out now, because now that they've made Castiel human, she said there's no point in her watching the show. But I think that's a little harsh, and
yeah.
I also think I know why they've done it, because... Pretty much the end of this season, I figure, is going to be the end of the whole Angel Lucifer arc, and we're probably never going to see angels again, and we're probably not going to see Lucifer again or anything, and we'll have probably our regular demons. But in order to keep Castiel on the show, because all the fans really like him, in order to keep him on the show, they had to make him human. Once you make him human, then he could just, you know, be a sidekick and help you guys out. He doesn't have any superpowers, and he has to learn how to fight demons and stuff as a human. But now you can keep him on the show for the next several seasons without having the Deus Ex Machina of having an angel that can just pop you out of any kind of crisis.
I really hope there aren't several seasons. I just hope there's one more and that's it. Because, I mean, the show can't go on forever. It needs to have a finite ending.
Well,
I was hoping that was this season, but obviously now it's not.
Right.
Well, and I agree because, to me... It's just going to be too trite, and I hate to bring up the show Charmed, but, you know, it's like, how many times can we kill God and still go to the next season? I mean, to me, this was a really natural way to have a finish or a series finale, or if next year they actually do an entire season that kind of cleans up whatever mess we're going to get into next episode.
Yeah.
That's fine. But, you know, I'm even seeing it as... Libby, I know you and I talked about at one point, they're looking at different casting calls on is everyone going to be there next season. And as much as I'm starting to like Dean finally, I'm like, wow, is Dean really going to be there? I wonder if Dean's going to be there.
Are you talking about... I'm assuming you're talking Sam and not Dean.
Oh, no. I'm talking Dean. They've got a replacement for Dean. they don't have a replacement for Sam.
Oh, you mean the younger brother being...
Adam.
Yeah, yeah, Adam is pretty much Dean. I see what you're talking about. But, yeah, that... I don't... Dean is the only character you can't lose from the show because, to me, he's the show. I mean, Sam, if you just have the show with Sam, I'm out. There's no point.
Well, Eric Kripke has said Dean is the hero of the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's pinnacle. And a lot of Sam fans hate that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, it's true. I mean, he's the show. I mean, they say it's about the brothers, and it is about their relationship, but it's about Dean. And
part of that is Dean being the older brother...
Yeah.
And taking care of Sam, who is the special kid. And,
he rides a short bus to school, right?
Well,
short bus.
But I do like this episode. One, they gave Bobby back his legs. Nobody talked about
fantastic.
That yet.
Well, for this season.
You think they're going to take it back next season?
Okay.
We'll see.
Crossroads gave him back. His legs.
Yeah, we'll see what happens when Crowley gives him his soul back. If Crowley gives him his soul back.
Yeah, that's right. I'm right there with you.
And I love Crowley. I mean, I love Mark Shepard, too, but Crowley is such a great character.
Oh,
my God.
What I love about him is you... Not only can you not trust him, it's very obvious you can't trust him. He doesn't have a problem explaining to you why you can't trust him. And, you know, it's... Every time you have a plan with him, he's all like, oh yeah, here's the plan, let's go up there and do this thing, and then he disappears, or it's the opposite of what he said it is, and he's like, oh well, you know, so I don't even understand why they go anywhere with that guy, like,
One thing did confuse me, though, like, when they were looking for Death, they found that one, like, warehouse thing with all the Reapers standing around it.
Right.
But Death wasn't there, so
yeah.
Why were all the Reapers there?
I thought that they were going to explain that. I thought Crowley was double-crossing him again. I thought that was going to be the explanation. But then it wasn't, so I feel like something got cut. Because there was no reason for that scene now. So.
Or they're going to explain it in the next season, in the next
right.
episode.
Oh, that's
right.
That's possible, because right now it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. But overall, I mean, when Dean was having his conversation with Death, I was just like Dean the whole time. I was all nervous. I was all tense. And I've never seen Dean that afraid of something, honestly.
Well, I think it was quite justified.
Enjoying pizza.
Yeah, that was...
That afraid?
And I loved how they handled that. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting, but I loved how they handled that. It wasn't a big fight. It wasn't a big argument. It was just a conversation over pizza. And Death was like, I want in on this because I am so sick of Lucifer. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, and know your place. I will help you out, but know your place.
I liked how he explained how old he was, too, because I was like, whoa.
Whoa.
That really did put everything in perspective.
And when he said he will one day reap God, whoa, that, like...
I'm just going to throw this out there. Boo.
I knew you...
Why do you say that?
Well... I can explain that more off panel.
Okay.
I already knew what you were going to say, but I thought that Dean's plan to kill Death was stupid. Like, really? You're going to kill Death with his own scythe? It was like, and he was going to creep up on him by walking really slow. I was like, that's not a very good plan. And
The thing is, I don't think they have time for really good plans. You know, things are really coming to a head. They don't have really time to really...
Well, I mean, I think that this is the absolute time where you should have a plan. Because you're going up against Lucifer, and you go up against Lucifer without a plan, you might as well not have done anything.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. I just don't think they have a lot of... Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I'll say, unfortunately, I think we're getting down to the... This is where we're at in the episodes. And, but more importantly, this is how much time we have left before the apocalypse comes. And even though we're driving across the entire nation, we don't have the best plan. And we're going to do what we normally do, and we're going to, you know, fight. See, my thought is we're going to fight till they kill us. But at least we're going down fighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's what I kind of saw. And we're making deals with creatures that we would have never made deals with. But you know what? It's the best plan we got.
Yeah, because they're so desperate and they're so against the wall, you know, that they got to do what they got to do. And that doesn't lead to the best plans. It leads to desperate plans. It leads to quickly made plans. So that's how I see it. it's really going to come to head in the finale next week.
That's what next season's going to be, is basically the cleanup of really bad plans that were forced upon the brothers.
I also hope it's a cleanup of their relationship, because their relationship is so fractured, it is so damaged, and I'm really hoping they focus on that next season as well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's going to have to come next season, because did you see the preview for next week?
Oh my God, did I ever.
I don't think it's a kumbaya session between the brothers.
It doesn't just look like it's going to be a happy kind of, like, you know, the season two ending is kind of like, we have work to do. Yeah. Season three was awful. Season four was pretty damn bad. So yeah, I have a feeling this one's not going to be the greatest either.
Yeah. When you look at Dean and you say, oh, Dean looks like this, it must be the end of a season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I saw that and I was like, oh. And but yeah, the absolute worst plan that I think that's out there, and I'm just going to throw it out there, I completely agree with Dean. The worst plan, let's put Satan in Sam and hope Sam can fight him off.
I think that's a very bad plan.
It's a very bad plan, but I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. And
oh, yeah.
I have a feeling we'll probably see Adam again, being warned by either Michael or God.
Well,
take care of it somehow.
I'm going to... They said Michael, so I'm going to go with Michael.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately in this reality, they can't find God, but we'll just let that one slide.
Well, God has had his hand in stuff. I mean, he saved Dean and Sam at the beginning of the season. He brought
Castiel back.
Yeah, he brought Castiel back, so God has been doing stuff.
He also said, back off. He doesn't feel it's his problem.
Well, or the things are going the way he wants them to, too. It might be going along the way he wants stuff, so that's why he's like, all right, I'll interfere when it goes off track, but other than that, I'm not touching it.
And that's the feeling that I've been getting for the last 2 years.
We all have our predictions, and I think it's time to wrap this up. You guys got any last comments?
Can't wait to Supernatural next week. Oh, my God. That's my comments.
Yeah, Supernatural is definitely the show that I'm waiting for next week.
All right, and thanks, guys, for listening in. And remember, if you have any comments, thoughts, you can leave them for us at tvcampfire@gmail.com. See you next week.